to walk in the laps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by his blessed example. Happy, how happy the song that we sing. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light.
Now we're going to sing number 268, Christ Liveth in Me.
Spirit dwelleth in me. Christ liveth in me.
All right, you may be seated.
So tonight, I'd like to go to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. I realize this is that everybody knows this one here. I can remember it from Sunday school just a few years ago. But what I would like to do is read through it first and then go through some of the verses on their own and pick away at them a bit. Because I think what happens sometimes with these well-known short passages, we tend to skim over them a little bit, you know, like, oh yeah, we know this, et cetera, et cetera. And we forget that even in these small passages and stuff, there are a lot of hidden things that we need to look at. So I'm going to start here in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he was gone to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And verse 10, more or less, is what the mission of Jesus Christ was, to come and save those who were lost. Now, if we go back to verse 1 here, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. This was on his way to Jerusalem. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So what do we know about Zacchaeus? Not a great deal, but we can tell from here that he was a tax collector, and not just an ordinary one. He was the chief, and that he was rich. This means that even though he was Jewish by birth, and actually Zacchaeus, the Hebrew word Zacchaeus means pure one, which is not what he was. So he was the big tax man, so he'd be working for the Romans, collecting their taxes for them off the Jewish people. And then after that, he could do whatever he wanted. He could add some in, skim off the top. And I would imagine he was making the Jewish population very miserable by what he was doing. He had a lot of power and authority. And so Jesus was coming through Jericho, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Well, here we find out something else about him. He was very short. And he ran before and climbed up into a tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, he wanted to see him. Now, at the start, everybody was there. I'm sure you've been to a parade or something, or to if somebody's gone through town and you see the big crowd. Everybody goes because they're curious, nothing else. All they want to do is say, oh yeah, I saw him, I was there. And this is perhaps how Zacchaeus started out. But it seems that when he could not see him because of his little height, rather than just stand there and wait with the crowd, he decided to run before. He got away from the crowd. He has separated himself from everybody else. And he climbed up into this tree to see him, or where he was to pass by. And to me, that kind of, you know, suggests everybody else was there to see Jesus in the crowd, just to see him visibly. But something inside Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus in person, to converse with him, to have some kind of a relationship with him. And so that's how I look at that there. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, Zacchaeus being the tax collector, he was shunned by his fellow people there. They didn't want anything to do with him. And so to actually have somebody asked to go to his house to actually dine with him, wow. And so he came down, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So what he's done here, he has obeyed Jesus, come down out of the tree in kind of humility. He's come down, he's obeyed. And so they go to his house, I guess, there. I suppose you could call this, you know, tonight, you know, guess who's coming to dinner. But he goes to his house, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. So he's there at the house. He has admitted that he has committed sin, and he's, you know, confessed before the Lord. And now he has repented. He's giving, you know, restitution to those who he has maligned or, you know, cheated over the years. And this is part, you know, what he does, the half to the as goods to the poor, and by false accusations I restore him fourfold. This is as set out in Leviticus, in I think it's chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. So this, he's done this according to more of the old covenant or, you know, testament there. Now, when they saw that he was going to go to Zacchaeus' house, all the other people around there murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. Well, yeah, he has. And their nose is all out of joint, because they feel that they have not sinned. They're still living by the old law. They go by the commandments and stuff like that. But they haven't sinned, especially the Pharisees. And so their nose is out of joint. And really, the Pharisees, they're just mad because they can't get Jesus to sit down and to try and get him trapped in something like they have been doing all through this gospel here. So that's what they're mad about. Unfortunately, at that time, some people in the Jewish community thought that they would go to heaven, that they would be saved just by the fact that they were Jewish. They had this thing that, you know, they they're Jewish, they're saved, they don't really have to, you know, worry about it. Now, where's everybody else in this crowd that was there to see Jesus? Well, as I say, they probably saw him, said, okay, that's great, now let's go home. We don't need to worry about it. We haven't done anything wrong. And into verse 9 here, Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So Zacchaeus is saved. And then, of course, we come to verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Now, we don't know what happens to Zacchaeus after that, but really we do. We don't know, you know, that, like we know that he is saved, so he is going to heaven. He's going to have, he has an eternal future. And one day we may be able to ask him what happened in between. Now, why don't we know much about him before and after? Well, because it's not really pertinent or necessary for what is being taught here. The Bible is God-inspired, so God just, you know, reveals what he wants to be written. I don't know whether he's done this just to get us all confused and try to work out all these things ourselves. Maybe he has a bit of a sense of humor. But really, it's not really important to what the points that he is trying to get across here. So therefore, it's not there. Now, you know, Jesus seems to have this thing about publicans or tax collectors, because this is not the first time that he has done some work with tax collectors. And if you go back to, well, if you go to, I think it's Luke chapter 5 and verse, in chapter 5, around about the verse 30 or so. And we see another tax collector by the name of Levi. And he saw, and if we go to verse 27 here, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they are that sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, you know, here we are with the same thing here. We've got the people who have sinned are being brought to repentance, and we've got all these self-righteous people that don't think they've done anything wrong, that think that these people are too bad. They don't deserve to be saved. They don't need to go to heaven or to be with Christ. They're very judgmental. And things haven't really changed much. We still do that. We see from time to time, we all know through history and in recent times, all these people who have done heinous crimes that are in jail, perhaps for life. And we tend to think sometimes, you know, they don't deserve, you know, that's where they deserve. They don't need to be saved or whatever. And then we hear sometimes, well, so-and-so is in jail for life, but he has given his life to Christ. And people get very uptight and offended about that. And that is not right. We know that Christ came at once, knows that we have all sinned, and that he wants us all to be saved. And that doesn't really matter what the sin is. We've all sinned. And as such, none of us deserve on our own to spend eternity with God. But he has graciously given us this opportunity to do so. And it's not all one-sided. It's not all from him. We have to do certain things in order to accept this. Now, we saw with Zacchaeus that he obeyed. He came down in humility. He acknowledged that he sinned and that he had hurt people. Because when you sin, you just don't know how many people it affects sometimes. It just seems to go on down the line. And so after that, he confessed and repented and compensated those people that he had harmed. And this is something along the line that still what we must all do. We must acknowledge our sin. We must believe on God, which he did when he came down from the tree. And we must, you know, confess our sins and repent. So we have to all do that, no matter whether you've just done what you might call a little sin or a big sin. It doesn't matter. I marvel sometimes at these pastors and chaplains that work in some of these penitentiaries and jails. That must be so hard for them to, you know, listen to all these things that, you know, people have done. And it must be hard for them sometimes not to be judgmental. And thank God for them, and thank God for supporting them and being with them so that they can get through some of these things. And really what the ending here is that it's very hard for everybody not to be judgmental. All it takes is a moment really, and we can tend to judge somebody. And I think really we need to, it's one of those things that we will always have to work on. And we can, as I say, we can all be saved. I would say, you know, maybe the next time you have to talk to a CRA agent or tax about taxes or something, that you suggest them that to them, that even they can be saved, and just see how you get on with that afterwards. How do you spell audit? So what I ask God to do to convict me on all the time is that if I start to be judgmental about something, to get on my case right away, to get rid of that. And it actually works. You know, sometimes in the past, I could kind of sit there and be judgmental about somebody for a long time, but now it kind of just passes. And I think I still need work with that. I would imagine a lot of people do. And so, really, who was Zacchaeus? Perhaps we know a little bit more about him than what you think, because we are all Zacchaeus in a way. You know, maybe our sins are not the same, but our basic instincts and our desires, how we came to be saved, because it was no coincidence that Zacchaeus was in that tree when Jesus came to him. So no matter where you are, when you come to that final thing, I need to be saved, or whatever, you want to see Jesus Christ, not visually, but you want to have a relationship with him, he will come no matter where you are. He will come to meet you. And he will ask, and he will invite you to your house. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say next. But, well, really, that's it. I really just wanted to, you know, let you know what I've been thinking about, what my thoughts were on this passage. I tend to like these little passages of people that you only see once, because I find you do get actually a lot more than what you think out of them. And so I guess that's it. I thank you for putting up with me on this. And I better stop before I start rambling.